guys can have a seat this morning. So we want to jump into our teaching. We're in this new series. We started it last week. It's called Worth the Wait. We are still in Hebrews, though, so take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at two verses this morning in Hebrews 11, and just reminding you that the teacher in Hebrews is talking to this Jewish congregation, this Jewish gathering of people, and he's telling them, don't lose your faith because of all the oppression that's happening to you. And as he's doing this, he's finally gotten to this place in this teaching, in his dialogue, that he is saying, hey, I'm going to remind you of people's stories. Because each one of us have a story. And now, in this chapter, he lists all these names of these stories of people who are just like you and I, but they lived a life of faith. The big idea today that I want us to see, or to hopefully we all will walk away with this idea, is that seeing isn't always believing. But believing will cause you to see. So, Jesus calls you to believe, and then you will see. You know, this is true in just the way that we live our life so many times. I remember when I was just a little boy and we were building our horse barn. And I was out there working with it was my grandfather and my dad. And grandpa told me, I had no idea what a whetstone was. And he's like, it's for sharpening your knife, because I had a knife. And he's like, it's to sharpen your knife with, but be careful. Don't drop it or it will break. And what did I do not even 30 seconds later? I dropped it. And he thought that I needed to see that. In order for me to really believe that it would break easy, he thought I dropped it on purpose. And he was so mad at me. I'll never forget that. And I thought, no, I didn't do that, just so that I would see if it was really true. But that happens. So many times we think we have to experience something, and then we'll believe it. As I was thinking about this statement, this truth, because this applies to us spiritually as well as it does in our everyday life, I was thinking about Christmas movies. I was not into Christmas movies before I got married. I really wasn't. I could care less about Christmas movies. And then I got married, and then Zoe, you know, she drags all these Christmas movies into my life. And for the first time, I watched Miracle on 34th Street. Yes, see, that's how I feel now. Oh my gosh, yeah, I feel like I have to give up my man card, but yeah, it's like, yes, it's there is so many enduring, you know, little spots in this movie, right? And if you haven't seen it, I know some of you are younger and you haven't, you're like, Miracle, what is that? Because that's what Maggie said. What was that? You know. So it's like, you know, it's about Susan Walker's a little girl, but her mom, Mrs. Walker, she's an executive at Macy's, and she's also responsible for the Macy Day's Parade. But she's like a no-nonsense kind of executive. And she's a single mom raising her, at this time, 6 years old. Susan is 6 years old. And she learned very quickly that life didn't always end up in a fairy tale. She was divorced, and divorced so quickly that Susan never even knew who her dad was. And so she was teaching her daughter to be a no-nonsense kind of person. You know, don't believe in the fairy tales. Don't believe in that there's going to be this happily live ever after. And everything has to have logic and reason behind it. And as she is teaching that and instilling that into her doctor, they come across Kris Kringle. Mrs. Walker hires Kris Kringle to play the role of Santa for the Macy's Day Parade and then for the store. And, you know, and he's doing like this amazing job because he really is Santa. And as he's doing this really amazing job, Susan, in this scene, she's like sitting back and she's watching, she's observing. And as she is observing, she is watching. But you know what she's doing? She's explaining away. Watch this one little, just a short little clip.
Young lady, what's your name?
I'm sorry, she doesn't speak English. She's Dutch. She just came over. She's been living in an orphan's home in Rotterdam ever since. Well, we've adopted her. I told her you wouldn't be able to speak to her. But when she saw you in the parade yesterday, she said you were Santa Claus, as she calls you, and you could talk to her. Well, I didn't know what to do.
Hello. Ich bin glad that you're home, Ben.
Oh, Ben Santa Claus.
I guess Zeke.
He existed, Bell. It was Zeke that he would sabo Kreipen.
Natürlich. Sigma war just a will in heaven, Ben Santa Claus.
Nix. He kept from Alice. It will Elaine Mar by days to leave for domicile.
Will you want Gourmet singen?
Sinterklaas kapoentje, geef het in mijn schoentje, geef het in mijn laarsje. Dank u Sinterklaasje. Sinterklaas kapoentje, geef wat in mijn schoentje, geef wat in mijn laarsje.
And there's little Susan, you know, off to the back watching. So seeing isn't always believing, because you know what she does? She walks away and she still rationalizes it away. And her mom helps her to rationalize away. Well, people speak all different kinds of languages. So seeing isn't always believing. But believing will cause you to see. We'll come back to that in a second. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. It says this, the teacher says, it is impossible to please God without faith. Doesn't say that you might not be able to please God. It doesn't say there's a possibility. Nope, it's very clear. He just makes this emphatic statement. It's impossible to please God if you don't have faith. And then he talks about it. He explains this. Anyone who wants to come to Him, meaning come to God, anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists. This is where it starts. You've got to believe. Right? So believing will cause you to see. You believe that God exists and He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. What's He rewards you with? He rewards you with just a little bit more faith. And He rewards you with a relationship with Him. And that you can actually walk with Him. And that you can commune with Him. That you can actually know Him. And then as you do this week after week and month after month and year after year, that continues to develop and to grow you into the person who God made you to be. And just to make sure, I know I defined faith last week, but I want to come back to that. Faith defined is believing that God is who He says He is. And Hebrews 11:6 says, hey, you've got to believe that He exists. That's where it starts, is by you believing that He exists. And that's why faith defined is believing that God is who He says He is. And that He will do everything that He said that He would do. Now, what the teacher does next is he pulls out another one of these names. A name from history. A name that all the Jewish people were very familiar with him. He was like one of their heroes, of somebody who lived out their faith. Who put into practice, into their daily living, of what it means to walk by faith. Look at verse number 7. It was by faith that Noah... It was by faith that Noah built that large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about the things that had never happened before. So the teacher in Hebrews is just kind of giving this summary statement about that whole flood act, that whole flood story. But he's like, a flood had never even happened before. And some theorize that there was like this canopy vapor over the earth at that time, and that it had never rained up to that time, because it's like this greenhouse effect. Moisture was kept in. And no one can prove that. It's just a theory. But what we do know is that it had never rained before. It had never flooded. There had never been anything like this before. And then he says, but by faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. So what I want us to do is I want us to dive in a little bit more into this story. the story about Noah. So in order to do that, we got to go all the way to the very beginning of the Bible. And that's in Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. And in Genesis chapter 6, we're going to start in verse number 9. And what I want us to do is wrestle with this question right here. How do we develop a life of faith that actually pleases God? How do you and I actually develop a life of faith like Noah had? I think we can learn some things from Noah's life. And so I hope that you will look in your Bible. I hope that you'll take your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, go to the Welcome Center. They will give you a Bible. Underline, write in the margins of your Bible so that you can remember this. So that when you're meeting with God, you get in the habit and the practice of writing in your Bible what God is sharing with you. But here it is in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 9. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, the only blameless person living on earth at that time, and he walked in close fellowship with God. Now, first, you notice that striking statement, the only righteous person living in the world at that time. I mean, that's a pretty bold statement. But here, God is looking throughout the earth of his creation, and he zeroes in on Noah. Why? Because Noah walked in what? Close fellowship with God. Think about that. If you're going to walk in close fellowship with someone here on earth, what is one thing that you have to become good at? If you're going to walk in close fellowship with them. And it helps us answer the question of how do we develop living a life of faith. It's this idea of listening. You got to be a good listener. Now, you can love God, but you can still not be a good listener. Because there's no one on this planet that I love more than my wife Zoe, right? And then my kids, like right underneath that. Let me say it this way. There have been many times, you can ask her, there have been many times when she says to me, "Aren't you listening?" Right? Or "Weren't you listening? Because I already told you that." Right? And so you can love somebody. But part of developing that relationship with your spouse is that you are a good listener. And that is something I've been trying to practice and trying to get better at. And I try, you know, to zero in on her, and I try really hard. Okay, she's talking about, you know, what happened at work today. This takes work. That means that you have to be quiet. It means you have to make your mind be quiet. Because in your mind, you're thinking, I could care less about what happened at your work, right? So, right? You too. Come on, let's be honest. If we're honest, I'm just trying to be honest, right? And you're just like, okay, I could have told this story in 30 seconds and it's taken 3 hours. That's why I'm not listening anymore, right? This is what we feel sometimes, right? Confession time. This is therapy for me. Thank you for being my therapist. Don't tell my wife I said this. I'm not going to say this in the second service when she's in here, okay? But listening is so important, and it's something if you're going to have a good relationship with. We talked about this in September. So many times what we do is we go into prayer, and we do all the talking to God. Do you just keep your mouth quiet and just listen? Do you listen? Do you take God's word, read a passage, read a verse, and then listen? Lean in to the listening. We've got to do better at this. Back in Genesis, verse number 12, God observed all this corruption in the world, for everyone on earth was corrupt. Let's remember this, that God sees our world. So many of us feel like, and we say this, man, our world's going to hell in a handbasket, right? And who knows what that means? It means it's getting worse, okay? That's what people say all the time. I hear them say that. And we know that things are getting worse. And sometimes we wonder, God, are you even seeing this? What about the time when Noah was alive? When it came down just to one guy? I mean, at least we have a room full of people here and a room full of people in South County who are trying to live with God and walk with God, right? But, you know, in Noah's time, it was like Noah. And that was it throughout the entire earth. And here, we think, God, where are you? But in the time of Noah, it's the same thing. It got so bad in the time of Noah's living on the earth. that God sees. I just want to remind you, God sees right where we are at in His timetable. He's still in control, no matter how bad it gets here. And it was bad for this first century Jewish congregation that was hit, that what they were experiencing, it was bad for them. And He's reminding them through this story, God sees you in this mess. Now, God said to Noah, I have decided to destroy all living creatures, for they have filled the earth with violence. Remember, we talked about Cain and Abel last week. That violence just continued to spiral out of control for hundreds of years. It says, for that they have filled the earth with violence. Yes, I will wipe them all out along with the earth. Build, and then now here's what he's telling Noah. Here's what you need to do. Build a large boat from cypress wood, waterproof it with tar inside and out, and then construct the decks and stalls and throughout its interiors. And then he tells them this. So he gives them these very specific instructions, and then he comes back to this idea. Hey, look, I'm about to cover the earth with a flood that will destroy everything, every living thing that breathes. Everything on earth will be wiped out. But I will confirm my covenant with you, Noah. So enter the boat, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. And then he says, hey, bring with you a pair of every kind of animal, male and female, into the boat, and you will keep them all alive during the flood. And Noah, what does Noah do? In short, Noah does everything. Noah did everything exactly as God had commanded him. So God gives him the exact way to proceed, and Noah follows it. And so how do we develop living a life of faith that pleases God? It's not just by listening, but it's also by obedience. And with that obedience comes hard work. I mean, you stop and think. Week after week, Noah would have to go grab one of those boards and come back and pound that thing. You know, he'd have to cut it down first and then form it and shape it and then get it up out there, right? And he'd have to do this, you go back and read the story in detail. It's all the very specifics are there. Think of a small ocean liner. That's like what he's building. And in fact, there's a replica down in Kentucky if you wanted to go see that. The Cruz family is one family that's been down in Kentucky to see this full-size replica of the Ark. It's pretty amazing. Think about the hard work that it takes with obedience. And if you and I are going to live a life that develops faith over a period of time, it's going to take you obeying and then the hard work that comes with the obedience. And there was a lot of hard work in what Noah was called to do. And I also want us to focus in on this next phrase. It says, when everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, go into the boat. But just focus in on that one word right there first, or that one phrase, when everything was ready. You know why? This is a summary statement of what just happened over at least 100 years. 100 years. Now, we're told that Noah is around 500 years old when he started building this boat. Again, going back to that whole canopy theory, and everything lived longer back then, and there was these perfect conditions in that time, and that's why they believe that the life expectancy was so long. But what we know is when he finished up, he was 600 years old when he went into the ark. So that's 100 years of getting up, preparing for something that you have never seen before. And as you are getting up, obeying, going through the hard work of the obedience, of listening to every aspect that God has given you. And all the while, people are looking at you like you're just cuckoo, right? You're like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. It's like, what in the world is it? Like, what is wrong with you? You're being made fun of, ridiculed. People are just like, what? No, why would I help you build this thing? What are you even talking about? Think about that. And think about your own life. This call in your own life to live faithful and the way that God, that would please God in the here and now for you. And it just sometimes doesn't make sense to those on the outside of faith, those who don't have faith. And they wonder, why would you do that? Like, why do you go to a small group? Why do you, every Sunday morning, you're gone? Like, why do you do that? Why do you talk about reading your Bible? What? Well, like, it just doesn't make sense for some people. But year after year, Noah would show up. What if he didn't have? Well, here's a characteristic. I didn't say this yet, but a characteristic would be steps of, and not leaps of faith. Every day, he's just taking another step of faith. He doesn't see the big picture yet, right? It's not just 1 month, 2 months. It's not just 1 year, 2 year. We're talking 50 year. The 50 year mark goes by, and he's like, God, when is this thing happening? He's like, just keep being faithful. He's like, think about this. He's at year 95. What if he's at year at 95? He's like, come on, God, it's been 95 years since you told me this. What if he would have stopped? What if he wouldn't have the patience that comes with developing a life of faith that pleases God? What if he would have gave up on year 99? Year 99, he's like, come on, God. It's like year 99. Me and my family, we've got other stuff to do. We need to go on with our life. If he would have stopped at year 99... destruction would have been brought to him and his family. You see how important us walking with God? Do you see how important us developing a life of faith? Do you see how important this is in our life? That we would actually live our life with patience to help us develop? That we would take these steps, not leaps? God doesn't ask you to take this ginormous leap. He just says, hey, take the next step. And as you take that step, he'll get you a little bit closer. And as you take that step, he gets you a little bit closer into developing you into the man or the woman of God that he's calling you to be. So, when everything was ready, the Lord said to Noah, go into the boat with all of your family. For among all the people of the earth, what's he say? I can see that you alone are righteous. Again, God sees you in this world that you feel like is just a mess. God sees you. He sees you trying to be faithful. He sees you trying to live a faithful life. He sees you trying to be faithful in your workplace. He sees you trying to be faithful in your marriage. He sees you. And sometimes you're wondering, does anyone see? And I want to go back and say, yes, God sees you. Somebody here, somebody in South County, you need to hear that God sees you right where you're at. And he's calling you to continue to have the patience, to continue to take the steps. He's calling you to obey and do the hard work of obedience. And he's calling you to continue to listen. And he'll lead you. But he definitely sees you. Don't you give up. Not yet. And Noah, he did. Noah did everything as the Lord had commanded him. Noah did everything as the Lord had commanded him. And a male and female of each kind entered the boat just as God had commanded Noah. And then the Lord closed the door behind him. You see, along with what Noah is doing, not only is he obeying, he's just like, and his patience, he's also just has this sense of trust that God's got this. Because he goes ahead, he gets on the boat, and it's like behind him, God's hand just comes up and closes the door. So how do we develop living a life of faith? Trust. We just have to continue to trust, even when it doesn't make sense, even when we are in our 99th year. Right? And some of you, it may only be week 2, but it feels like you're in week 99. It feels like that you're in year 99. What you are carrying is so heavy. And there are so many times that God brings many of you, the ones that I'm aware of, he'll bring you to my mind. And I just think about what you're going through. and my heart just gets heavy for you. And it just causes a spontaneous prayer for you. Because I can't imagine how some of you continue to stay faithful. How some of you continue to go through the mess, through the hard diagnosis, through the loss. But you're doing it. And God sees you. And you're still just trusting. And you are such an encouragement. And I want you to know this, that when this happened to Noah, you know, it rained for 40 days. I mean, like it had never rained before. And not only did that rain come from the sky, the water came up from the ground to where it would raise the ark 20-some feet above the highest peak. Think Mount Everest, 20 feet above Mount Everest. And as that rain comes for 40 days, you're wondering, you're sitting, is this ever going to end? But Noah's just trusting. He's trusting God. What is it that you are trusting God, that you need to trust God for? What is that thing? Is there a relationship? Is there a broken relationship that you need to trust God with? Is it a financial thing that you need to trust God with? And it feels like it's been 40 days or 40 years for you maybe. And it just hasn't stopped. Well, finally, the rain stops. But guess what? Everything is still flooded. And Noah, guess what? It doesn't happen overnight. Behind the scenes, God is at work. Notice this, and if we jump all the way to chapter 8, it says, but God remembered Noah. He remembered the flood. He remembered how the flood was being wiped out. He does not forget you. You need to remember that. God does not forget you and where you are at. I remember being in college and I just wanted to get out of college and get into ministry as fast as I could. And my grandma, she would tell me time and time again, Rick, you need to finish college. You need to finish college. You need to finish. And then she would say, when I was into my sophomore year, there was an opportunity for me to go. And she would remind me, as well as my wife would remind me, no, you're not going yet. You're finishing college. But my grandmother would say, the light's at the end of the tunnel. Don't you quit now. And whatever it is, whatever you are going through, don't you quit now. God sees you and He remembers right where you are. And what's He start doing? He starts working behind the scenes and the waters start receding. And over again, a period of time, God's at work. He's actively at work in your situation. He is actively working. And you can't see it. It looks like things have calmed down, but the floodwaters are still all around. And it's not until the fifth month. Think about that. 5 months he's in there. And he gets this little glimmer of hope. But guess what? He has to wait another 5 more months until he gets another little glimmer of hope. And now after he's been on there for a year, crammed in this ocean liner with all these animals and his family that you can't get away from, right? You're talking about shutdown, right? He's shut down, baby. He's in the ark. Right? And he's not going anywhere. And there he's wondering, God, are you at work? What are you doing? And then finally, 12 months later, he is able to come out of that ark. He gets the okay. I love the story of Noah because what it shows us is that Noah is always leaning into the listening part of his relationship with God. And he's always waiting. He's patient. He's not like me. He is patient, waiting for the next step to be clear for him. And when he gets the clearing from God, okay, now's the time. Come off the ark. Now's the time. A year later, that's when he goes off the ark. And you know what Noah's first act is? After he gets his family off, he gets the animals out of there. You know what his first act is? It's an act of worship. Look at it in verse number 20 of chapter 8. And then Noah built an altar to the Lord. That's an act of worship. So you know what you and I need to develop a life of faith that's pleasing to God? We need to have worship. And worship just doesn't happen on Sunday morning. through music. Worship is a posture of life. Worship is a way of life. Worship is how you go throughout your day. You start your day with worship. You're in the middle of your day. You can worship through your work. You can worship through going to school. You can worship. And I know some of the students are thinking, what? What? He just said go to school and worship? What? Yeah. Yes, you can go to school. And do that as an act of worship. God, I'm here because this is where you have me. I want to worship you. Show me how to worship you today at school. You can worship through school. Going to school. Going to work. Going Christmas shopping in the craziness right now. You can go and worship God as you're in Macy's or wherever you shop. You can still worship. And we have to, if we're going to build a life that develops faith that's pleasing to God, worship is a part of it. And Noah demonstrates that. And remember, seeing isn't always believing. But believing will actually cause you to see. I want us to come back to that miracle on 34th Street. And at the end, towards the end, isn't it? Susan is in the car with her mom and now a boyfriend, lawyer. And she's sitting there saying, I believe, I believe, I believe. She's trying to make herself believe. Look what happens.
I believe.
Stop, Uncle Fred, stop!
Susie,
where are you?
Susie,
I'm upstairs.
Calm right down. You know you shouldn't run around in other people's houses. You know better than that.
But this is my house, Mommy. The one I asked Mr. Kringle for. It is. I know it is. My room upstairs is just like I knew it would be. Oh, you were right, Mommy. Mommy told me if things don't turn out just the way you want them to the first time, you still got to believe. And I kept believing, and you were right, Mommy. Mr. Kringle is Santa Claus.
Where are you going?
To see if there's a swing. There is one. There is one.
See? Believing is seeing. And the same thing is true in our spiritual lives. You've got to trust God. You've got to believe God. And then you will see. And once you realize that He really is real and that He really does exist and that He rewards those who diligently seek Him, He'll continue to bring you deeper and deeper and deeper into this life of faith. And that's the call for all of us. The very first next step, it says this on your connection card. The connection cards are now in the front of your seat. If you're in our Cranston location, if you're in our South County location, they're still online and digital. And we are hoping that all of you will grab that connection card. The first next step says, pray I can live a life by faith, of faith by listening, obeying, taking steps of faith, being patient, trusting, and worshiping. We want to pray for you. If this is where you're at and you're like, yeah, Rick, definitely pray for me. Pray that these things would be developed in my life so that I can have a faith that pleases God. We want to pray for you. Just let us know on that connection card. The other next step, though, is for those of you, you have that thing. And I don't know what that thing is, but it says this. It says, I need to trust God with, and there's a blank there for you to write that in there. Is it a broken relationship and you just need to trust God with that? Is it your health issue? Is it a financial issue? Whatever the issue is, write it in there on that blank. Put your name on there and we will pray for you. On this coming Tuesday when our team gathers, we'll pray that God will give you the kind of faith to be able to move through whatever it is that you are carrying. But then there are others that are here with us or you're online with us where you have never taken that first step of believing that God really exists. You've never called out on the name of Jesus as your Savior. And the other next step, the last next step, it says, I, like Noah, needed an ark to save him. I need Jesus to save me. See, for Noah, physically, it was that ark that resembled or represented the redemption of God for somebody that he loves. And God loves you. Will you hear that this morning? God loves you. And He is your salvation. And do you need to call on Jesus as your Savior? We want to pray for you. If you leave your phone number with your name, we'd love to have a conversation with you. So Jesus, I pray for that person that needs to trust you. God, give them the faith to call out. Father, I pray for the person that's carrying that heavy weight. God, give them the faith to continue to carry that and to trust you, that you have the end, that you've got it. You've got the end. You have it. Let them trust you with it. Jesus, please come and move and work in us like this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.